Crazy.
Blog
Uh-oh.
Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Here we go, America. Here we go, America.
Crank it up, dude.
Crank it up. Yes, sir.
Oh,
number
yeah.
Number
time. Here we go. Fabulous day. We are into July. Man, what a great day. We are officially talking sports with the 12 men on a special Wednesday night. Sometimes we do that every now and then just to kind of get everyone's schedule accommodated. We got three max players ready to go, signing our contracts. That's what it's all about for the NBA free agency. Let's get this party started. As always, I'm Andre Peterson.
I like that.
Joined by my crew. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Robert Ford and Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. Let's check in with the fellas. Bob Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing fabulous, man. Couldn't be better, man. It's, everything that's happening in the NBA world is going down today, fellas.
It's been fun. And always, I got to check in with JQ. How you doing, JQ?
Hey, man, I'm like trading places over here. Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis. I'm good.
I love it, man.
That's a throwback right there.
That's what we do. Yeah. That is a throwback. But let's have some fun, guys. Without further ado, today is July the 1st. Man, what a great day. You're officially talking sports for the 12 men. If you didn't know, I always like to throw out numbers if you want to reach out to us and give us your thoughts and feedback. As always, the number to call and show is 424-243-9519. And then finally, a couple things. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And finally, if you go to facebook.com/12manSports, if you put in talking sports for the 12 men, you will actually find us. So we always set the stage, fellas. Let's go ahead and get this party started. I know we kind of want to talk about free agency real quick. I would just like to throw a curveball and talk a little bit about the NBA draft. Your thoughts, fellas, about that. I know we didn't get a chance to get the show on Tuesday, but I know the NBA is a little bit different in that the draft happens first, then free agency, which is kind of interesting. It's a little different from the NFL. But any thoughts about that? I'm gonna throw it to JQ real quick. Before we get started, I was kind of surprised in that Jahlil Okafor, actually landed with the 76ers. And I know we've heard of the Twin Towers, but I don't know if we've heard of the Triple Towers here. I don't know who's going to play point guard in that. But any thoughts about that, guys? And JQ, what are your thoughts real quick about your Lakers and what you guys did and all that fun stuff?
I was pleasantly surprised that they took Russell and they bucked the trend of always going big over small. And I stated this before that I see a little bit of a bust factor with Okafor just with his conditioning and the way that the league is going. I don't think he can really spread the floor as much as the bigs can nowadays. So I love the Russell pick, but I was a little underwhelmed with them reaching for Nance Jr. at the end of the round. I thought there were some other power forward options available to him. So from a personal standpoint, I was in love with the Russell piece, and then we're striking out in free agency. So, you know, that kind of quells some of the good feelings I have, but I'm still glad they got him. As far as the other pieces of the NBA draft, I shared this with you guys earlier in a text message, but the big one to me that stands out is that MJ passed up six picks, including four first-rounders, to take Frank the Tank instead of moving back and letting Boston take Justice Winslow. I mean, that one just blows me away.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was crazy to me. And I was not as high on Willie Cauley-Stein going that high to Sacramento because he's limited offensively. I thought that was, you know, more of a luxury pick at six that they don't have the luxury of taking. Some other ones, you know, getting Towns and Tyus Jones from Minnesota, I thought was pretty good. I like Houston getting Decker and Harrell as good rotation pieces at their spots. That was good value to me. And Miami getting Winslow at 10, who, you know, I was pretty high on him. I thought he should have went much higher than that. I think he's a perfect Miami Pat Riley guy moving forward, you know, with them signing Drogic. And if they can hopefully get Bosh back into full health and get Wade at somewhere at a decent rate, I think that's a big win for Miami.
Nice. I love that. That's a good recap, man. And like you said, yeah, the surprise, and, you know, I was making shots about, you know, the Triple Towers there. But we'll see how that plays out with 76ers. They're probably taking the best player available, obviously. But very interesting draft, at least. Rob Ford, I know, any thoughts about that you wanted to talk about for the NBA draft real quick?
Yeah, just some teams that I like as well. JQ mentioned the Rockets. I really like what they did in the draft, getting Decker and Harrell at 18 and 32. I think they had one of the better drafts in the league. I think they definitely increased their depth, definitely their front court depth on their roster as well. I still would like to see them do something with the point guard position at some point, whether that be free agency. Obviously, it would have to be free agency or trade at this point. And I actually like the Lakers draft as well. You know, I'm not a Lakers fan by any means. Anthony Brown, getting him at 34, I think was a good pick as well from Stanford. And so I like what the Lakers did as well. And Memphis, I think they got, you know, getting Jarrell Martin at 25, Andrew Harrison at 44. I thought they had a solid draft. JQ mentioned Miami, obviously getting Winston at 10. I had him somewhere graded around 6 or 7, so obviously they got good value there, getting him at the 10 spot. So I thought that was a pretty good pick. And in Minnesota, obviously had number one pick in the draft in Carl Anthony Towns, but also getting a solid point guard to come off the bench in Tyus Jones at 24.
Nice.
I think that was good value getting him where they got him. I thought he was, you know, rated somewhere between 18 to 20. And so, obviously, getting him there was a pretty good steal. And obviously, the Knicks fans, of course, you know, they booed Porzingis. But, you know, I actually kind of like their draft. And to getting Jerry and Grant at 19, too, I think was a very good pickup getting him. And Oklahoma City, again, Cameron Payne, who I think could come in, can be a real scorer coming off the bench for them at the 14th spot. But also getting Dakari Johnson, who I think would be a solid role player for him, getting him in the second round, I think was a solid pick as well. And so that kind of, you know, kind of wraps up some of the things that I liked in the draft, what some of the teams did in the NBA draft.
Making a nice transition into that, too, because, you know, I know that JQ mentioned that the Lakers are striking out free agency. One of the players I was really surprised in that Kevin Love decides to stay with the Cavs. Word on the street is that, guys, he's talking about it's unfinished business. Cleveland was the place he wanted to be. Right now, LeBron, the GM, is killing Michael Jordan, the GM. But, man, what an interesting move.
I mean,
any comment? Yeah, JQ, go ahead. Any comments? I didn't think that Kevin Love was going to stay with the Cavs. You know, we thought that he was going to make a move, and you heard some rumbling about him and LeBron not getting along. But, man, I guess money is going to fix most of the things, for sure.
And I think it's also a PR standpoint that you can't lose sight of. I thought he would stay. I was surprised that he signed for the full 5 years, because I think he could have still gotten away with signing a one-year deal or a two-year deal with the cap getting ready to jump, and a, you know, show and prove kind of contract to see if they can really gel in their second and third seasons together. But when you basically talk to LeBron through back channels and say, yeah, you know, trade your first pick and Wiggins and I'm going to come, and we're going to have our own big three, and then it doesn't go exactly where you want it to go, and you get hurt, and Irvin gets hurt, but you still make the NBA Finals, and you're looking at them, you know, celebrating. You're like, man, that could be us if we had been healthy. I think it's going to be hard for him to leave that team to go somewhere else, you know, because everybody's going to say, oh, he's leaving because he didn't get his shots. He couldn't get along with everybody on the team. I think he kind of had – had to, but it was in his best interest to do it. But I was shocked at the length of the deal.
Wow. Rob, what do you think about that, Rob?
Well, I never thought he was in danger of leaving. So, I mean, it's not a surprise that he decided to stay. You know, I actually kind of thought it was a surprise that he was going to entertain sitting down with the Lakers. But obviously that didn't take place, and he put an end to everything pretty quickly. So it wasn't necessarily a big surprise that he decided to stay in Cleveland. And just like we talked about a few weeks ago when the NBA Finals was over, his best chance of having that opportunity to win a title is right where he is. And
yep.
That Cleveland team is healthy. I mean, we'll never know if they would have been able to beat Golden State, but obviously they would have had a better chance if they were a healthy ball club and had a little bit more depth on a roster. So obviously with him staying, that gives them an opportunity to be able to compete or win a championship on next season.
But if it's in butts and candy nuts, we don't have a Merry Christmas. Come on, man. Everyone gets hurt. We have some injuries too. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
no, I mean, like I said, I'm talking about the Hawks, but you know, it's all good.
I didn't know who you
No, man, but it's you're right. I mean, some teams got to. You never know what would have happened, and you know, LeBron did his thing. It was interesting, I said at least too. But this ran into a team that kind of adjusted, and like we talked, we already went through that thing. But let's talk about some free agencies, guys. There's been a lot of moves going on. Man, obviously Kevin Love signs that five-year, $110 million deal. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Dwayne Wade. A lot of movement. I mean, you know, obviously we still got some movement on LaMarcus Aldridge. So I guess I'm going to throw it to Robin. I know, kind of keep it brief because I know JQ is just like chomping at the bit here. A lot of moves that are happening. And we'll kind of throw it to Robin, your thoughts real quick about what's been happening in the free agency world.
Oh, yeah, I'll just kind of go over some quick moves real quick, and then we can talk about, you know, what some good deals for some teams. Obviously, Phoenix today making a couple of big moves, signing Brandon Knight, 5 years, $70 million. Also stealing Tyson Chandler from the Mavs, 4 years, $52 million. Of course, Andre, your Atlanta Hawks, re-signing Paul Millsaps, giving him 3 years,
yes,
$59 million deal. Also acquiring Tiago Splitter. From
right
the
move.
Spurs, give them some much-needed depth in the up front. The Pelicans, 5 years, $145 million, Anthony Davis. That's the richest contract in NBA history. And Alexei Ojinka, 4 years, $20 million. And as we speak on the air, the Pelicans are finalizing a deal with Omar Sheik as well. The Blazers, you know, getting Damian Lillard locked up. There you go. Damian Lillard locked up 5 years, $120 million. El Farouk Aminu leaving the Mavs. A lot of people departing Dallas. Getting Aminu 4 years for $30 million. We talked about Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat. That still is unfolding. But they did lock up Goran Dragic 5 years, $90 million. So one of the only guards in the NBA to shoot over 50%. Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. 5 years, $90 million. Danny Green, 4 years, $45 million. Of course, they're in the running with LaMarcus Aldridge. Stay tuned on that front. Brooklyn re-signing a couple of their own as well. 3 years, $60 million to Brooke Lopez. 4 years, $50 million to Thaddeus Young. And we talked about a lot of players leaving the Mavs. Monte Ellis could be on the way out as well. You know, they're meeting with the Pacers. And, you know, we'll see what happens on that front. On a bad note for the Hawks, they lose Damari Carroll, 4 years, $60 million to Toronto. I think we can talk about that in a minute. I think that could be an overpay, so it might be a good move for the Hawks. They didn't get in that bidding game.
Yes.
Milwaukee and Chris Middleton, 5 years, $70 million. Stay tuned with Sacramento and Rajon Rondo. Rondo is trying to get $10 million a year out of Sacramento. Sacramento's trying to offer him a little less, but they're still at least talking at this moment. Bulls, Mike Dunleavy, 3 years, $14 million. Resigned Jimmy Butler, 5 years, $90 million. Kyle Singler gets 5 years, $25 million from OKC. Man, the money is going around for players, I tell you that.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Jonas Jerebko gets 2 years, $10 million from Boston. Amir Johnson also leaves Toronto to go to Boston, 2 years, $24 million. In addition to Kevin Love re-signing with Cleveland, they also re-signed Tristan Thompson, 4 years, $80 million. I guess it paid off for him turning down that $52 million contract before the season.
And
also Iman Shumpert getting 4 years, $40 million with Cleveland. So that's just kind of, we can talk about, you know, what teams did well, you know, who got overpaid, and kind of go from there. But those are a good bit of the deals that took place since midnight last night.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, so I really like what Atlanta has done. Keeping Millsap, I don't know what he was thinking about when you were talking about the Hawks and the Magic. I think that's a no-brainer. You can go to Disney World whenever you want to. And then I like them getting Splitter because you can now put Horford at his natural spot at the four, and then put Millsap maybe at the three, or bring him in there and rotate him and maybe play them again at the four and five, but get Horford some extended minutes at the four with a rim protector behind him. I absolutely love that from Atlanta, and again, not overpaying for Carroll, because I think that's just way too much money, and I think Toronto is going to regret that. I like Chicago putting the onus on Jimmy Butler, because there was talk that he was wanting to sign a short contract and go to L.A., but maybe he was just using the Lakers probably for leverage, and, you know, money talks, and when you didn't had that big first contract, that 5-year, $90 million contract speaks volumes. Not quite sure about Tyson Chandler with that deal in Phoenix. I know he's a defensive anchor, but he's trying to get a little, you know, long in the tooth, so to speak. And I know that Phoenix training staff is pretty good with helping older players rejuvenate their careers, but I'm not sure if I would have paid him that much. But I wonder what's going on in Dallas because, like you said, there's a lot of exodus happening there. But the Spurs, again, getting Danny Green to sign for a below-market value, given what other guys are getting, he could have got more money than that. And then, you know, locking up Leonard and getting rid of – not getting rid of, but trading Splitter, which gives them space to sign Aldridge. It's just the Spurs being the Spurs and showing the rest of the league how it's done. So those are my takeaways. You know, some of the other ones, like Anthony Davis, you know, he's worth every penny of that. And, of course, signing Kevin Love was going to happen to me. Tristan Thompson just parlayed his playoff run into a huge payday. They must be printing money in Cleveland, but at the same time, when you plan for the finals, you're going to make that money back with all the money LeBron brings into town and then all those extra gates that you're going to get from the playoff games. So, you know, if you're trying to win, you don't really necessarily buy a sports team to make money, you know, because you've already made your money. That's why you were able to buy a sports team. So if you're in it for the title, I like it from Dan Gilbert's standpoint of going for broke. So that's been my take on what's happened so far in free agency.
Appreciate that, fellas. Yeah, I'm just going to comment really, really quickly about, you know, Damari Kuro. Ironically, he got married last week, and Mike Budenholzer and Darvin Ham, the assistant coaches for the Hawks, they were at his wedding. So I think it's an interesting move. And then, you know, next thing – and this no, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing, guys. Hear me out, because I think he was chubby talking to Damari, said, hey – if you get a good offer, you know, I don't think we can, you know, we're not going to, this is kind of where you were when he got the, that deal. He's probably like, hey, you know, you might as well take it and make as much money as you can. So I think they have that type of relationship, which is a little interesting, but, you know, like you said, much props to him. I think that he did excel in the Atlanta system. So I don't know if he's going to be just as successful in Toronto, but, you know, like you said, he got his money and that's probably what it was all about, you know, so kudos to him. Yeah, pretty excited about the, Paul Millsap. I think we were, as Hawks fans, we were a little upset because you want to, you know, keep building on what we did. So, yeah, we couldn't afford to pay him that much, obviously. But, and I'm talking about Damari Kuro, so we get Millsap. At least we're sort of okay with that. Hawks fans are not 100% happy about Tiago Splitter. Not sure why. I mean, maybe because they don't think he is a rim protector, like you said earlier, JQ. But, you know, he has some size, yeah, and obviously he can spell Horford, but we're just not sure if he's kind of like that dynamic of a player right now. So maybe, you know, he's a little bit better than Perro and Teach. I think so. I don't know enough about him, but he does know the system. So any feedback you have, you know, Rob, it would be helpful about that too. And obviously very excited to get Tim Hardaway Jr. I think this is a young guy that can come in and definitely make an impact. Hopefully we still got some other things going on, but that's kind of my thoughts. You know, you guys have already said about other free agent moves. I'm not going to comment on that, but that's kind of my perspective about the Hawks. And I do want to get your perspective, guys, as far as what's going to happen with LaMarcus Aldridge. Where do you think he's going to sign? Is he going to stay with the Spurs, as we hear about? And then also what's going to happen with DeAndre Jordan. So there's a couple of players, a couple of teams that we can talk about, too. So, you know, Rob, I don't know if you want to comment on Tiago, you know, your thoughts about that, and, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. or whatever, and then kind of talk about where do you think what's going to happen with a couple of guys, and we'll kind of wrap up, you know, some underrated free agents, if you will.
Yeah, obviously, I think the Tiago Splitter move is a good move for the Hawks. I really do. It gives them some front court depth. He's not the shot blocker, of course, but he's going to be a solid rebounder for you. And actually, you know, he's not a bad low post scorer. He's going to be a role player for you, but you're going to need some size. You're going to need some depth, especially when you're talking about competing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, you know, he's going to, you know, when healthy, he's going to have Tristan Thompson, Mozgov, as well as Kevin Love now, so when healthy. So you're going to need some size. Yeah, and Varejao coming back.
Yeah.
Good point there. So, you know, you're going to have to compete with that when they're healthy. So, and, you know, Tristan Thompson killed them in the Eastern Conference Finals on the boards, and they didn't even have Kevin Love in that series. And Thompson just was a beast. They couldn't keep Thompson off the offensive glass. So they need some of that size. You know, you're going against certain matchups. So I think that's a good move. You know, for the Hawks, getting him. And the Damari Kuro thing I mentioned is as an overpay. You know, he had a great NBA playoffs, but, you know, if you really go back and really analyze those games, Damari Kuro was shooting a lot of wide-open shots. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to get that same kind of look when he gets to Toronto.
He's not.
So, I mean, I think that was kind of an overpay there. I think he can be a solid defender. But once again, he had a lot of wide open shots. And in Toronto, I think, you know, a lot of pressure is going to be on him to be able to put up those same kind of numbers in Toronto. I personally don't think, you know, he'll be able to do it at that level. And, you know, look, interesting to see. It could be, a shift in power a little bit, because if Portland lose LaMarcus Aldridge, they're immediately out of the playoffs. And at the moment, obviously free agency is not over. I would have to say, and Matthews could be leaving. At the moment, you can say Dallas could be out of the playoffs as well with some of the players that they're losing. So obviously free agency is not over, but it could be a shift in power a little bit. It could be a good thing for my Pelicans. We can continue to move up, you know, in the Western Conference with a couple of those teams dropping. I still think the Spurs are the favorites to land LaMarcus Aldridge and get him back in Texas. You know, he Tim Duncan has been his idol coming up in basketball. And obviously with them moving Tiago Splitter, getting a little bit of a deal on Danny Green, and Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili are both prepared to take serious pay cuts. And so they can squeeze him in and get that max salary for him as well. So I still think Aldridge, you know, I think the Spurs are the favorite to get him. DeAndre Jordan is a very interesting case. And, you know, I just talked about the Mavs losing players, but don't be surprised if DeAndre Jordan goes to Dallas. And I know his relationship with Chris Paul is still not the best. And but I'm going to say it's going to come down to the Mavericks, him going back to the Clippers or going to the Lakers. It's going to be the three teams. But I'm going to give just a slight edge to the Mavericks right now, so we'll see what happens with that.
Say Q, wow, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I give the edge to the Clippers at this point only because if you're DeAndre Jordan and you're watching this Exodus come out of Dallas, are they going to have enough with you and Dirk in more of a diminished capacity, just like we talked about, to stay in that ultra-competitive West? Or do you stay with a known quantity, knowing you got CP3 and knowing you've got Blake Griffin? So I think, you know, you can heal some of those wounds that they had. You know, and I think a part of that was just the way that they ended their season. It ended so abruptly and with the sting of not making the finals again in the Game 7 loss to Houston that I think, you know, he's going to look around and say, you know, this is the best place for me. And I think Aldridge goes to San Antonio. I think it's all lining up with the way San Antonio is making moves, that if he was looking at, okay, I got Duncan, who's going to take less money and maybe take a little bit less of a role so that he can extend his career maybe for another year or two. If Aldridge steps into that spot and can preserve some of those legs during the regular season, you know, that it's just the best situation for him. He fits into that system so perfectly. I just don't know why he would not go to San Antonio. So for me, that's what happens. I think DeAndre stays with the Clippers. I think Aldridge goes to San Antonio. I think the Lakers are still on the outside looking in. But I think they are building the right way with the young guys. And once again, part of it is Kobe, that they don't want to play with him right now. And you can't say anything else other than that if you have Kobe and you know the level of talent that he has, but you know his mentality and his attitude, that he's rubbing some of these guys the wrong way. And I think they're still a year off of him retiring and freeing up that $22 million for them to say, okay, I can go and actually be the guy and take over with these young guys and show them the way that I want to do it, as opposed to having Kobe all in our face barking. So that's my take.
Wow, very nice. 5 minutes. We got about 6 minutes to go. I know Robert, he's getting queued up here. Little breaking news in that the Warriors re-sign Draymond Green, 5-year, $85 million deal. So that's pretty interesting too. Underrated free agents, Rob. Go ahead and kick us off. We got about 6 minutes to go here, real quick. Just kind of letting you know, as far as time wise, where we're at.
Before we move on to that point, just a quick question I would like to ask, you know, even the two of you as well as myself. With LaMarcus Aldridge, does the Spurs surpass the Warriors in the Western Conference?
Definitely.
Oh, I can't say definitely. Because we saw Parker and we saw Ginobili kind of slip a little bit. But if you kind of retool and you say, okay, I'm going to make Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard the focus, and, you know, they do a good job of limiting minutes anyway, but you can maybe further limit it and then keep them a little bit more healthy and keep them a little bit fresher going into down the stretch, They could, but I'm going to go with the reigning champs just because they're a proven product. They're bringing everybody back. So I'm going to say it's a 1A, 1B thing, but I'm still going to give the nod to the Warriors right now. But it's close.
That's a big move. Aldridge is I think it was going 2020. You know, at least he can score 30 points if he wants. I mean, that's just that's a huge uplift to that squad. And then they can kill you, but so many different ways too, man. So I just think I'm a fan of the Golden State, but that's just a huge move that actually goes down. I'm open against it,
yes,
but I'm just saying that's. Yeah, but go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The Spurs played the Warriors better than anybody in the league last year without LaMarcus Aldridge, and I think they had an even split, or either Spurs won the series 2-1. I can't remember. I know they beat the Warriors twice, and so I have to go back and look that up. But I still think I would give the edge slightly to the Warriors just from the standpoint of pace of play. I just wonder if the Spurs would be able to keep up with them in that kind of style of play. Going head to head, so I think I would give the edge slightly to the Warriors over the Spurs, but I think I would move the Spurs to number two, which, you know, you can also make a case for a healthy OKC team when they get Kevin Durant back too, and that's going to be interesting to see how well he is able to come back from that and as well. So that's going to be interesting as well. But I would say if he's, 95% close to what he was before, you'd have to put OKC in the mix. But that's a big question mark as well with those, obviously the foot issues that he had. So that's going to be interesting. And we'll obviously have to stay tuned and watch and see what happens. I just had a couple of players from an underrated standpoint. I think a couple of players that can really help a couple of teams off the bench. C.J. Watson and Darrell Arthur. I really like Darrell Arthur, real underrated player with the Denver Nuggets last season. They were 9 points better every time he was on the floor. Great defender, great rebounder. I really think he can help a contending team to add some quality depth. It's a player that a lot of people are not talking about. I really think he can help a contending ball club to possibly get over the hump. I think he'll really help a team like the Warriors, too. I mean, I think he can play with them in that pace of play. And he can also give them some really good interior defense, which is really their weakness, if they do have a weakness at the moment. I don't know where he's going to end up, but I think he could be a nice pickup for a team like the Golden State. And C.J. Watson, a team I think like the Houston Rockets could use some quality depth at the point guard position. He's been proven to be a quality backup guard in this league. I think he can really help out a team like the Rockets to really stay competitive in the Western Conference. I think he can also even help out a team like the New Orleans Pelicans, too, because Elvin Gentry is going to want to speed up the pace a little bit with his style of play offensively. So those are just a couple of guys that I had in mind as far as being underrated. I think it can help some teams get over the hump.
We have a two-minute mark here real quick. Yep, go ahead. Got 2 minutes.
I'm going to say Patrick Beverley because you play in this up-tempo league now, and he's a lockdown point guard defender. You think about all the great point guards across the league. If you can bring Beverley into a team where he's not asked to score a lot, where his main focus is to lock down other point guard, I think he's going to be an underrated free agent. And I like Robin Lopez if he goes to the right team because he can make up for some of those deficiencies. If you have a stretch four kind of Kevin Love kind of guy, that wants to go out away from the rim, he'll do all the dirty work, setting the screens, getting the rebound. So those are two that jumped out to me.
Yeah, I really like the Robin Lopez piece.
Yep. I was going to say, too, what happens with Marcus Arch is going to determine what's going to happen with Robin Lopez. That's just my take on that, too. So.
Agreed.
All right, Rob, we got a minute. Go ahead and set it up for the OT portion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you all tuning into the show. I tell you, time flies when you're having fun. We will be back on the air on next week, Tuesday night. We'll be assuming we're back to our regular scheduled program. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. for our friends on the Pacific Coast. And then, of course, in Hawaii, that will be 5 p.m. You don't want to miss us on next week. We'll continue to be updating NBA free agency, and I know we're getting closer and closer to football season, so eventually we'll come around and start making our predictions here for the upcoming football season. for NFL and college. So you don't want to miss that. And also fantasy football coming around. So we'll be keeping everybody posted with our fantasy football leagues going forward. So stay tuned. Join us on next week. Good night, people.
Stay classy, San Diego.
There it is. Good night, people. All right, fellas, we are officially into the OT portion. Didn't know. Are you guys watching NBA TV right now? I'm like fixated on this channel right now. There's rumors about some trades, a couple players from the Sacramento Kings going to the 76ers for some overseas players. So just keep an eye on Stauskas,
yeah.
Thompson, and I just missed third player just put off
Carl
the screen.
Carl Landry,
but,
it's official, actually.
Carl Landry. Is it really? Man. So
yeah, they trade Nick Stauskas, Jason Thompson, and Carl Landry to the 76ers.
Wow.
They're trying to free up some money
said.
To sign Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, that's
there it
exactly
is.
What that
wow.
means. Or to get Ty Lawson from Denver.
Yeah.
That's also been out there, too. So it's one of those two, I think. I think that's plan 1A and 1B.
Wow. Okay.
And that just
all
shows
right,
you,
so.
You know, George Karl, you know, he wants to play that up-tempo style, and he's looking for that kind of point guard that can push the pace. And both of those guys, I think, would be good fits for the type of system that he wants to run. Assumingly, Rajon Rondo can keep his head on straight.
Yeah, that's a big assumption.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know you guys aren't a fan of Rajon, man.
Got to have him between the ears.
Yes, sir.
I know you guys aren't. I know you guys aren't a fan of Rajon. I think he's misunderstood, but that's a whole other conversation. But you know, he has to, like you said, he has to kind of, like you said, you know, play in the system here and keep going too. Man, a lot of interesting moves, guys. I just want to comment really quickly on the underrated free agent. I think there's a guy that's out there that I love the Hawks to get. That's Wesley Matthews. I know he had that Achilles injury, so that's a guy. That dude was a pretty deadly 3-point specialist too, man. So we got to get some more shooters, man. So that's if we get
and a
him,
good defender.
I think it'll and a good man. That would be like that's like Christmas to me. So you know, if we can somehow pull that off, man, I will be one of the happiest campers in the world. So that's just my little 5-second thing. So I hope Wes Wilcox and Mike Budenholzer are kind of listening to the show, man. So that's my little 5-second thing too. So
can I ask you a quick question before we move on to the other one? Can I ask you a quick question about why
sure
Atlanta has such a problem? I love Atlanta as a city. Why it has such a problem attracting star free agents? Have you guys heard something that I haven't heard? Because I don't get it. And you watched them make this big leap this year. I would think that for somebody like you said, like a Wes Matthews, that would excel in this system. Why they don't get more, you know, more love? You got Paul Millsap actually thinking between Orlando and Atlanta, like that's even a real, you know, decision to be made. Like I don't understand. So I don't know if you guys know some things I don't know. I just kind of wanted to ask because I really don't know.
Well, it's interesting that you bring. Oh, go ahead, Andre. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Rob. You're on a roll. I'm gonna let you do that. I'll let you finish, man.
you know, it's interesting that I heard a piece similar to that. You know, why players, they like living in Atlanta, but they don't necessarily like playing for the Hawks. And you know, that could change based on the season that they just had. But a lot of NBA players don't feel like it's a basketball town. And which, you know, if you really look at the NBA Finals ratings on a year-in basis, and, you know, Atlanta's always one of the highest-rated towns when it comes to watching the NBA Finals. So I don't know if I agree with the notion that it's not a basketball town. I just think a lot of the real basketball fans in the city don't necessarily go to the games. And and I think that's really been the that's really what has really hurt them as far as attracting big-time free agents. A lot of players like to play in certain environments as well, and they haven't always had that in Atlanta when it comes to excitement. You look at Golden State, they probably got some of the best fans in the NBA. They've had it for a long time. And, you know, when you got the Lakers, and we can talk about the Lakers here in a minute and see what's going on with them, but, you know, they've always been attracted to, you know, playing in front of the stars and things of that nature too. Which, you know, you have somewhat of a black Hollywood in Atlanta, too. And so, that's a real interesting point. Yeah, and I mean, that's a real interesting point, but that's what I've kind of gathered has been the issue in the past.
Okay, I'm
sorry. I think we got a lot of stuff. No, you're fine. No, I think it's fine. That's what it's here for, man. We're definitely, man, ask questions away. No, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of things to do, Rob, here in Atlanta. I mean, we're easily distracted. We got college football, you know, just a lot of things going on, you know, from, you know, music and maybe a lot of transient people here. And I think it's kind of that way.
That's every city in America, almost, or every major city.
Well, I'm saying, you know, Golden State. I mean, you know, nothing is Cali. I mean, you know, it's Golden State. I mean, I'm not talking. I'm saying there's a lot of things going on. And we are more of a transient city. We got a lot of transplants here. But, you know,
I agree with you.
Yeah, I will say the fact that, you know, for this year, it may be a wait-and-see thing because maybe free agents may be thinking this is an aberration, you know, for this year. You know, we won 60 games at the finals. You know, maybe they're kind of seeing if we're going to, you know, continue to have that those winning ways. I mean, clearly, you know, Budenholzer's got something going here. But, you know, hopefully we'll attract some people. And if not, you know, we'll have to it's like that wait-and-see mentality is what I really think is happening right now, too. So, you know. I don't know. It's kind of sad.
And we're just day one in free agency too, so there's a lot that could still take place too.
Yeah, I was just more talking about like the front line. Like, yeah, you can feel in roster depth, but you know those eight ticket starters. So you know, I'm going to Atlanta. That piece of it, and maybe it's the transit piece where you know a lot of times you go to Phillips, you have so many people rooting for the other team that they don't like that. But I was just wondering. You know, I appreciate y'all's comments. I just never understood that. You know, because there's so much to do here. You can you know live a great lifestyle with the money that you make, as opposed to living in LA or New York or DC.
Absolutely.
That why it wouldn't vault to the top of the list, as opposed to, you know, always following, you know, the same beaten path to everywhere else. So that was just my whole take. But, you know, I appreciate it. I don't want to derail it anymore.
And, you know, two players that come to mind that I think, you know, that I thought would have considered the Hawks, you know, Dwight Howard being from Atlanta. And and even to a certain degree, I know Chris Paul is not from Atlanta, but I thought he would have given them strong consideration. With him being not far from North Carolina and things of that nature. But those are two players that come to mind just recently when they were free agency that you would have thought had at least given Atlanta a little bit more consideration. The Wesley Matthews piece, based on what I'm gathering here, it looks like the Mavs are the favorite for him, so we'll see if the Mavs can kind of replace some of the guys that they lost. But, you know, based on what I'm hearing, it looks like he – maybe headed to Dallas, so we'll wait and see, you know, what happens officially on that front.
And that might be your DeAndre Jordan domino. If they can get Wesley Matthews, that might be another signal. Okay, now I got another shooter with Dirk. Maybe that may swing DeAndre or maybe even LaMarcus Aldridge. So, you know, that could be an important domino for Dallas.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I think losing if they lose Monte Ellis to Indiana, I still think they can possibly fall out of the playoffs because he was the best player last year, in my opinion. And we'll see what kind of happens on that front.
Too much baby mama drama for Dwight Howard. He wanted to be in Atlanta because he's running with the most strippers.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, he's part of that. Yeah, he's got to give 300 tickets if he stays here, so he probably didn't want to get into that.
That's a lot.
We got about 8 minutes here. Rob, talk about your Angels here, better off really quickly because, you know, we're not going to comment on that. Unless, you know, JQ wants to talk about that. But I want to talk about the Big Ten QBs here. So talk about that really quick. Are they better off?
Did we skip a topic? Did we talk about the Lakers or something too?
Yeah, we did. Oh, Lakers. Yeah, Lakers. You talk about them no longer than running for LaMarcus Aldridge. Is that what you want to talk about?
We talked about it.
Yeah,
I just wanted to see how JQ felt about the Lakers. I put up a post on our Talking Sports page that just my personal opinion. I think it's time for the Lakers to get some change. I'm not a Lakers fan, and I'm saying this, but to me, the way they're missing out on some free agency, there's obviously some disconnect in that front office. And
it's
to me, I think it's got to be a combination of Kobe and the front office. Obviously, players don't want to play with Kobe right now. And also, I think their front office is, for LaMarcus Aldridge to say, hey, the reason why I'm crossing them off the list is because they never talked anything about basketball. The whole selling point was that he can build on his brand in Los Angeles.
Thing about it is sometimes that they don't fully understand the person they're talking to. If you're talking to a Carmelo Anthony and LeBron, I think they care more about their brand. Not care more about it, but it's as equally important to them as the on-the-court stuff because they feel like their skills can bring up the on-the-court piece. And you have other pieces, people like LaMarcus, who likes the statistics, kind of like the Houston Rockets with Daryl Morey kind of goes under. So you have to know the person you're talking to. So I agree with that. You have that disconnect with the front office. That they're not doing enough scouting on the individual person as to what they like. And then the other piece, I think, is Kobe, because Kobe's still just that alpha dog. Like, this is still my team. So you do realize that when you come in here, you have to fall in line. So I think it's a combination of those two, and they're not going to be able to get over that Kobe piece truly until he's gone, unless he just has a change of mentality, which I don't think is ever going to happen. He's just wired that way. So for me, it was disappointing, but it wasn't wholly unexpected, because, again, we're talking about how competitive that West is, and if I'm going to go there and Kobe's still going to dominate the ball, and yes, they have good, exciting young pieces, but they're still young. You know, you still have Randle, who hasn't proved anything yet. You still have Russell, who just got drafted, who hasn't proved anything yet. And you have Clarkson, you know, put up good numbers, but he put up good numbers on a bad team. What is he going to do when he has good people around him? Will he regress? Will he still show that same leadership quality? So you have those question marks. So you don't necessarily – the money, all things being considered, is going to be even everywhere. So what's the environment going to be like? So for me, I think those are the pieces. If you get those guys a little bit more seasoned, you know, Kobe transitions out, and the guy can come in and say, okay, now I'm the elder statesman, it's going to be my show, I think you might have a different result.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think it's definitely a time to shift some things in that front office with the Lakers, too. I think they're going to have to really evaluate that situation going into next year's draft for free agency. But we'll stay tuned on that front.
Yeah.
Yeah,
more Jeannie Buss.
No more Jerry West. No more Jerry West.
Yeah,
more
Jeannie Buss. Jim Buss, he sucks. It's Jim Buss and Kobe, really. It's what it is. It is.
That's hilarious. Wow. Rob, 4 minutes. You want to talk about the Angels real quick, and then we got to talk about Big Ten?
Are the Angels better off with Mike Scioscia taking over here? And so, I'm going to say they're not. I think they made a mistake by getting rid of the general manager.
Yep.
And obviously they're in second place in the Western Conference right now. And, you know, general manager DeLupo had problems receiving scouting reports from Mike Scioscia and the managers. And somehow the owners just decided to take Mike Scioscia's side on this issue. I think in the long run it's really going to hurt the Angels organization. And I think they still need to get a solid general manager in place because I don't think Scioscia is going to be the answer as a manager or as a, even though they've won a championship, I don't think he's going to be the answer long term as a manager as well as a general manager as well.
Thank you.
And I agree with that just quickly. And you put so much pressure on Scioscia now that anything short of a championship is a failure because he won the power struggle. So now you won the power struggle, go win games. And when you spend that much money on a roster and Houston's leading the division, you just 4 games over .500, and you dealt Hamilton away and you're eating so much of his contract having to pay it, so you have Trout and you have Pujols and you don't have much else, then, you know, I think it's just more the on-field performance caused the friction in the front office. And when you have that kind of power struggle, especially when it goes public, it's never a good thing. Excuse me. And then you also have to look at it in terms of attracting free agents who wants to go to a fractured workplace. So I don't think it's a good. I don't think it's a good thing, and I think they're going to take a step back before they can take 2 steps forward.
All right,
absolutely.
2 minutes, guys. Rob, 30 seconds. 30 seconds. JQ. Big Ten is going to have 3 QBs in the first round of the NFL draft. Are done in 20 years. Awesome. What do you think about that, Rob? Go ahead, real quick. 30 seconds, Rob.
Well, just a little sneak peek into next year's draft. I mean, they're going to have Connor Cook, Cardale Jones, Christian Hackenberg. Now, every year we go into the NFL draft with these early predictions, and somebody's going to fall off. Which one of these are going to fall off, we have to wait and see. I know Connor Cook right now, a lot of NBA scouts are real high on him, as well as Cardale Jones. I think Christian Hackenberg is probably looking toward the middle to the latter part of the first round as well. But one of these guys are going to fall off, and we'll just have to wait and see. But as of right now, it hasn't been this many quarterbacks with this kind of potential coming out of the Big Ten. And we may be throwing a football a little bit around in the Big Ten this coming fall. So it's going to be real interesting. But Connor Crick is the guy they're really high on the most, but they also like Cardale Jones' arm and his athleticism. So we'll have to stay tuned. I know we got to wrap up the show here. Once again, join us on next Tuesday night, people, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We appreciate everyone's tuning in. Once again, like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. You guys got any closing comments?
I was going to say Bryson Miller's the wild card, because if he can embrace the slash role, he might be able to sneak into it. And Cincinnati, vote for the Reds. Stop playing.
I love it. Man, fellas, it's always been a pleasure talking sports with you guys.
Hey, man, you
got
to throw the personal stuff out the window, man.
No.
That's awesome.
I can't. Hey, you got to be Cincinnati. Get it together.
You got to be objective here.